Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, back from vacation in Florida with my family for a week. What a wonderful time we had. And boy, the country is in the midst of a gripping global warming moment with ice across much of the Midwest. And it turns out in the Antarctic, the southern hemisphere has 2 million cubic miles of ice cover above average. 2 million cubic miles of ice coverage above average. Global warming is trying, but it's having a hard time. Okay, now, the great tragedy in Colorado yesterday were the murders that took place at two churches, church facilities, YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And in studio to discuss this, I have Brian Rohrbaugh, the president of American Right to Life. Brian, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Great to be here, Bob.
Thank you for joining us. What a great tragedy. And YWAM, we'll talk about that connection, both facilities. One was a YWAM center for training young missionaries in Arvada. And in Colorado Springs, it was the New Life Church, which had a YWAM office in it. And a murderer went and started unloading on innocent people.
Right.
We've seen it over and over and over again. The mall shooting that happened recently. And I'd like to talk about three things. One, the shooter was shot dead in Colorado Springs.
Amen.
Amen, right? Amen. Right. By not a police officer.
Right. It was a volunteer security guard, at least according to a news report, who was there at the church for security. And she saw the very real danger and took the appropriate action to stop a known gunman who was targeting innocent people.
Yeah. And it might be the same shooter. It appears it may be. Police have not issued any kind of a conclusive statement as to the Arvada murders and the Colorado Springs murders at New Life. But this woman was a hero. Denver Bible Church, we send out commendations and awards and thank yous to people around the country, and certainly she'll be getting one from Denver Bible Church. So let's talk about self-defense and then also forgiveness. There's been a statement from both the YWAM in Arvada, their director, and from the pastor in New Life in Colorado Springs that they have forgiven the murderer.
Right.
We have to talk about that and the tragedy of Christians misusing forgiveness, which is such a powerful, powerful, wonderful thing that we can do to others. And when you misuse forgiveness, you destroy people. And that's what's happening. And then finally, the culture of death that leads to all this. But so can we start with self-defense? What do you think of a church having security guards that are armed?
Well, in this particular culture and with what's taking place, we should not be surprised when churches or church members are targeted by what's going on in the world. We would be naive to think that somehow we would be immune from that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if the security guard was put on because of the shooting that happened the night before or if this is a normal procedure in that church. But obviously, in this case, it was very wise.
Yeah, they indicated that after the murders that happened early Sunday, 12:30 a.m., Saturday night, Sunday morning, that the church had a meeting and they put in place a standing procedure they have to increase security. They increased security, and thank God that they did, especially having a YWAM office at that church, and it was a YWAM location for the murders in Arvada. So the church has security guards, and you know, I've been going to church all my life, and larger churches typically have a security detail.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's very wise, and it's a really good thing that that security guard had the courage and the wisdom to act quickly and save lives.
Well, that's for sure, and we have to remember, we do have the God-given right to defend ourselves. and defend our families. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think maybe somehow Christianity doesn't have that right. Mm. But we really do, and we have an obligation to protect our families on top of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Remember, in the Bible, one of God's favorite people was Abraham. And Abraham, when his nephew Lot gets kidnapped, he held a prayer meeting. Oh, no, wait, he didn't do that. He got all the guys he can get with weapons, and he went after the kidnappers, and he caught up to them, and he saved his nephew and others. And God really loved Abraham and David also, with the courage to go after Goliath. And these are men's, you know, you talk about a man's man. The heroes in the Bible, so many of them, you're looking at a man's man. In this case, it's a woman's man.
Right.
The woman security guard, praise God for her, like Deborah in the Bible. And that is, God makes clear through Scripture that we have the right to defend ourselves, self-defense, including using lethal force if necessary.
Well, that's absolutely right. And let's parallel this to where my son died at Columbine High School, where the security guard there ran to the parking lot and hid behind cars. Now, parallel that to what happened at this church, and you can see the obvious correlation that one of them acted correctly, swiftly, and wisely, and at Columbine, they didn't. Mm. And, you know, obviously that's one of the many great shooting tragedies in this country was Columbine, and there have been so many. And we see now what really looks like an epidemic of this stuff happening. Mm. And so we want to encourage security guards, police officers, to stop gunmen.
Yeah. In Israel, teachers carry, they're armed. The pilots on El Al airplanes are armed. They have armed marshals on every flight. And Israel, thank God, has never had a hijacking. And the teachers in Israeli classrooms do a wonderful job of keeping an orderly, peaceful, civilized environment.
That's right. Yeah, so the right to self-defense is something that we should recognize as a God-given right, mm-hmm. and something that we should always consider our responsibility with our families and other innocent people, and again, be thankful that there are authorities and security guards and all that are doing this.
In the Bible, we see when there were wicked occupying forces, like, say, the Philistines occupying Israel, they disarmed the people. And throughout history, you have totalitarian tyrants like the communists and the Nazis who were left-wing socialists and so on, and they disarmed the people. And still to this day, you have godless people who don't understand right and wrong and that you have the right to self-defense, and they'd like to disarm everyone. And that's, you know, of course, Hitler takes power, or Mao, or in Cuba, Castro takes power. And of course, they're going to disarm the people because the people are their victims.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there's the push for that in this country. In fact, one of the things that comes out of this type of shooting, the mall shooting or Columbine, is this intense desire for gun control. Mm-hmm. And there is this kind of shallow belief that if you get rid of all the guns, that will stop this type of thing from happening. Mm-hmm. And of course, at Columbine, they also carried bombs into the school.
Yeah.
And so disarming guns first wouldn't have stopped them because they were criminals and these things are always going to be available.
Right.
It would only stop people who potentially could help from having a weapon to do so.
Right.
But there's other forms of weapons that gun control won't address.
Of
and you
course.
See it with suicide bombers. And, you know, this case was somewhat unique in that this shooter was killed before he killed himself. But the recent trend has been murder-suicide.
Murder-suicide is epidemic. And we've been saying on Bob and Yurt Live, we've been on the air for 16 years. And I think the whole time, we've been saying that you can expect to see a continued or an increased trend in murder-suicide because of the promotion of suicide. Because suicide is inherently destabilizing. You had the kamikaze pilots in from Japan. In fact, Germany was working on kamikaze pilots of their own, and that program was underway, but the war ended before it got to full blown. And now you have the jihadist suicide bombers. And when suicide becomes acceptable as a tactic, then the wicked people incorporate it into their brainstorming sessions.
Well, of course they do. And in our culture, what we see is a government school system that teaches evolution. In other words, they're being taught there is no God. And in fact, they are the highest form of life. They are their own God. So there's no consequences to suicide.
Right.
And that emboldens these criminals. They think they're going to escape everything by killing themselves. And so now their goal is not to live. It's not to justify their actions. It's to be famous. Mm. And the more people they kill, the more famous they are.
So the mall murderer, and I've been learning not to always use the names of these murderers.
Yeah, they do not deserve the consideration of being made famous. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I can tell you from firsthand that often the murderers, everyone knows their name and no one knows the name of the victim. Mm. And it would be more appropriate to have it the other way around.
Yeah. So the mall murderer, my son, Michael, who's 8 years old, we heard this news story. And the shooter then killed himself. And my 8-year-old, we're driving in the van together, and he said, "Dad, why would he kill himself?" He understood somebody's hatred that they're going to kill others, and why would they kill himself? And I said, "Son, the best I can understand it, they think they're escaping punishment. They think this life is all there is, and they could get away, they could vent their rage and then escape any punishment." And he doesn't know that he went right into the hands of a wrathful God who is angry at him for killing the innocent. And he's headed right to hell.
Well, that's right. And so that would be true with all of these people. But, of course, they're not being raised with that understanding.
No.
So they're taught that they have the right to make up their own mind no matter what they want to do.
Yeah, there's no God.
Right, and so there's no authority higher than them.
There's no absolutes.
Survival of the fittest and natural selection.
If it feels good, do it.
Right.
So all the morality we get from Hollywood, the culture, and, you know, since the 60s, if it feels good, do it. Throw off authority and you decide your own reality. And so these, you know, people grow up in that and they think, "I don't like this reality. I'm going to take out people with me and I have nothing to look forward to. There's no hope. When you die, you die."
Well, right. All hope, all reason for living has been stolen from a generation. They don't think there's anything meaningful in life. And that's why you see so much crime, so much corruption in the corporate world, is because they think the only thing that matters is how much they can accumulate, how much power they can get, how much money they can get. Those are the only things that matter. They don't think in terms of eternity because it's been stripped away from them.
Yeah, and if people think that ideas don't matter, ideas have consequences. Bill Clinton goes on the national stage and he says, "I did not have sex with that woman and this stuff is not sex." And years later, you have millions of teenage girls who have been performing sex acts on boys they hardly even know and laughing about it, that it's not sex.
Well, that's right. Yeah, the leaders of the culture have definitely done a huge disservice to our society, and they continue to do so. And, you know, it's on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's not that there's one great side. And then there's one bad side when you're talking politics anyway. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they seem to be very similar in what they stand for and how they behave.
Yeah, the Republican Party and the Democrats. And so when you have a culture that says suicide is not only acceptable, but they honor people who commit suicide like they're heroes, and euthanasia is a good thing, and Children's Hospital euthanized. They advocated euthanizing 4-year-old Dylan Walborn. He was starved to death over a 24-day period here in Denver. And so when you advocate suicide, then teenagers, like, say, a teenage girl whose boyfriend breaks up with her, it's the worst thing in the world, she thinks. And she takes this is a technique for dealing with pain. She commits suicide.
Yeah, and it's really tragic, and that happens all the time, and it's almost never reported. After Columbine, there were a series of suicides mm-hmm. in the following years, and the sheriff and the school district don't ever want to talk about them. They don't want that information out there. Yeah. And I've heard about it tragically because I'm involved in a lot of the things and people bring that kind of information to me.
Right.
But again, their hope, their reason for living has been stolen away mm-hmm. with the emptiness of evolution and the fact that there is no meaning to life under that false religion.
So you're a teenager and you hear the adults in the media talking about suicide, that it's a good thing, and you have the right to commit suicide. And then you come up with a problem in your own life, and suicide is sort of in the forefront of your consciousness. It's an option. It's in your toolbox.
Well, sure it is. Do you remember, after Columbine, I learned about their death education program that they had a few years earlier, mm-hmm. where they used to take students from the school to the morgue, to funeral homes, and they'd look at dead people and tell them, now, doesn't this person look peaceful? And then they actually had the highest suicide rate in the nation right there in Jefferson County, Colorado, from that death education that they were doing. And it shows the hatred of children that they have.
It's so mindless, as though when you grow up, you have family or friends, grandparents, great-grandparents who die, and you go to a funeral. And you learn about death. You have a cat who dies, and you learn about death.
Right.
Our kids, young kids, and our friend Art Risley, his dog Katie died, and he buried Katie. And our kids were like 4, 6, and 8. And he said, well, I just buried Katie. Katie's right here in the ground. And our four-year-old's like, Katie's in the ground? You know, he's trying to process it. But they learn about death. They don't need the school that can't even teach math and science and language, grammar. They don't need the school bringing kids to the morgue.
Right. And that's part of the agenda is, you know, this wasn't something that they asked parents, do you want us to do this for you? You know, their reasons for doing that could have only been destructive towards the children. And ultimately, they were proven to be very destructive. But there's other things that influence our society that also create problems.
Oh, didn't they ask the kids to write their own obituaries?
Yeah, they did stuff
all
like that.
All kinds of sick. It's culture of death. Morbid. Kids like morbid things, so they go along with it.
Well, right. And they're, of course, fascinated with it because of what they see out of Hollywood and what's mm-hmm. on television. But then there's another side of this. When people give blanket forgiveness to murderers, and they say they forgive this murderer before they're even caught, before they know anything. And this is Christians mostly who do this, but not
right,
always.
Right.
When they do that, they do a great disservice also to society. And we saw this out of Columbine. There were people standing up saying, oh, we forgive the murderers. And there's some real problems with doing that. It's dangerous to do. You basically undermine the sacrifice of Christ. When you say everyone is forgiven without repentance, then you make Christ's sacrifice absolutely meaningless. The Bible clearly states the circumstances that we should forgive under. Now, we most certainly should forgive when someone repents. Mm-hmm. We should confront people who have sinned against us. And if they repent, we should forgive them. That's Luke 17:3.
If someone sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him.
Right. And that is how we should operate. But when we take the secular psychologist point of view of we're forgiving that other person to help us.
For our own sake,
psychobabble
approach.
Right. That is a false position.
Right.
And it harms people. It doesn't help people. But when you forgive someone who's hurt you and they repent, that's a very good thing to do. Mm. That strengthens that person and the body of Christ. But when you just blanketly forgive, mm-hmm. that's really a bad thing. But it's even worse when you forgive someone who hasn't harmed you.
Yeah, remember Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees got angry because they said, what does he think he's God? they were accused him of blasphemy because only God has the authority to forgive sin. Now, if someone owes me, hurts me, I have the authority to forgive them. But if they hurt you, I don't have the authority to forgive them.
Exactly right.
Only God or you would have that authority.
That's right. And that's a big thing. And you remember after Columbine, we talked about this. I talked about this in a national format for months after that crime.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people saying they forgive the murderers. And they hadn't been harmed.
Yeah, or and their harm was indirect.
Right, they hadn't lost anyone. And they were effectively saying, we forgive you. It's okay that you murdered Brian's son and those other 12 people. It's okay that you injured all those other people. We will forgive you. Well, forgiveness cost something. It costs Christ, of course, the ultimate suffering. But it costs something. So if you forgive someone, let's say you loaned money to them, and they can't pay you back, and they tell you, look, I'm sorry, I can't pay you back, will you forgive me? If you forgive them, when you forgive them, it has cost you something.
Right.
In that case, it's cost you money.
Yeah.
But forgiveness is not free, and treating it like it is confuses a generation that's looking for hope, looking for a reason to live, and it further undermines what's happening in society.
Well, I remember, of course, right after Columbine, 15 crosses were erected, which was so grotesque and immoral because there were 13 victims, and you don't memorialize and honor the murderers with the victims. It's just immoral. It's grotesque. And so some heroes of mine went up and destroyed two of the crosses. I think you had something to do
with
that.
Yeah, I did. I was one of them.
Rich Patrone
and his brother and Dan's mom's father. The four of us took down those crosses, and we didn't do it under the cover of darkness. Mm. We called CNN. We held a press conference, and we took them down. Mm-hmm. You don't honor unrepentant murderers.
No. And then there was a local church, West Bowles Community Church, and they are going to create this memorial garden, and they announced they're going to plant 15 trees in this prayer garden. And you and other parents were in the congregation at that time at the announcement.
Yeah, we actually met with them, and they had a bunch of different excuses, and then they finally said, we won't do it.
We won't do the 15 because family members said it's wrong to memorialize the murderers with the victims. You don't put a monument to Hitler in a Holocaust museum, and you don't have a cross to Judas or a noose in a church next to Christ's cross. You just don't do those things. And so they said, okay, we won't do the 15.
Yeah, and actually what they were going to do is one of the victims attended that church. They said they were going to do just this garden in memory of that person, which we thought was perfectly appropriate, a great thing to do.
Yeah.
And then next time we hear about it, they're having a celebration for opening their prayer garden with 15 trees.
With 15 trees. And I remember you were on the radio with the pastor of West Bowles.
Right.
And I think it was with Peter Boyles, maybe.
Yeah, probably was.
And the pastor, you're really good at recording all your important meetings. But the pastor, he then admitted that they promised they would only do 13. Right. But then on that show, he said, we realize it's our property. We have the right to do what we want on our property.
Well, right. That is what they said. They said they had the right to change their mind. And, of course, you and I both know that a pastor has a special standing in the community when he gives his word.
Right.
And there's always a moral obligation. If you know you're going against what you promised someone, there's always a moral obligation to talk with that person.
Yeah, and Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Your pledge should bind you. And so at any rate, eventually two of those trees came down.
Well, they did. And, you know, it's tragic that these battles had to be fought. And what's even more tragic is if we wouldn't have fought them, the recently opened Columbine Memorial would have also
had 15
and honored two cold-blooded murderers.
That's absolutely right. And you know what I noticed at West Bowles? When relatives of the kids who were murdered, cut down the two trees for the murderers.
Right.
And there were church members who came out with hatred. Now, we got permission from the pastor to cut down the trees.
That's right.
And the media was there. This was all over the media. A two-page spread in People magazine, fabulous signs, quoting Jesus, you know, don't forgive unrepentant murderers and all that. And church members came out and said the most hateful things to the parents whose kids were murdered at Columbine.
Yeah, that happened, and it that also was tragic that they would attack these parents, and Fox News was running a clip of one of these people attacking a mom. A guy came out and screamed at her that she was a loser,
yeah.
And she said, I'm a loser because my son was murdered, and he turned around angry with his finger at her face and screamed, that's right, you're a loser.
And you know what I found interesting? And this was not one or two. I'm not saying the whole church was hateful, but there was a theme of anger in that church against the parents that's still there to this day. It's still there.
Right.
And resentment, anger, bitterness, and a lack of forgiveness. And what I realized is they forgave the murderers in a flash.
They forgive anyone except us.
Yeah, it was no sweat off their back. You know, the guys killed these innocent kids and a teacher. We forgive them. But you come and you criticize us for our memorial, we hate your guts.
Right.
And there was the true sign of what was in the heart. When people are ready to forgive murderers, rapists, and all, to me, it's a window to their heart that they don't know what they're talking about. And when it comes to a personal attack on them, then you find out if they're willing to forgive or not.
That's right.
And they were completely the opposite of forgiving.
And we're going to run out of time pretty quick, but what's going on in our culture? The thing that is a common denominator in all the stuff we're talking about is the fact that our government decided to make it legal to sacrifice the life of the most innocent and the most vulnerable among us, and that is children through abortion, which of course leads to euthanasia and all the other wickedness that's happening. And so the culture of death was really, really started when the consideration was made of forgetting that it's a child and disregarding that and saying it's okay to murder a child for convenience or any other reason. Mm-hmm. And so that is the culture of death. That is the underpinnings of Columbine, of these shootings, the mall shooting, mm-hmm. all of these terrible things that's happening because kids are not being taught respect mm-hmm. for life and our government doesn't enforce respect for life.
Well, thank you, Brian Rohrbaugh, the president of American Right to Life. And American Right to Life has just been... Well, it's just been announced by Time Magazine and U.S. News and World Report. We're expecting to have a major article out in the coming days. And so be looking forward to that. And this morning I got up and the first thing on my to-do list was to raise $12,000 for a special project. And believe it or not, I'm up to $10,000 already just today. And so if you'd like to help with that, if you call us, I can tell you what the project is. You can call us at 800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. If you could give $1,000 or $2,000 toward a secret project, and believe me, you'll love it, give us a call, 1-800-8-NYARTS. We'll tell you exactly what it is. You'll see where the money goes. 1-800-836-9278. And an interesting website to check out is thewhitescompany.com. Whitescompany.com in Maranatha, at a great school in our valley. God bless you.